It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Shadow. It's a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend Thomas Powell if he did indeed watch a certain reality show last night. Hey, Thomas, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jake. I am doing just fine. I am, there's a little bit of a chill in the air. I'm feeling...
Oh, what?
I feel a little spooky.
You feeling spooky today? On this 1st of October? The spookiest of months. I like to call it Spooktober, personally.
Yeah, you are always calling it that.
It's funny. It's funny because it makes me feel spooky.
And I like that. Shocktober?
I like to call it Shock and Rocktober. Because I like to scare my listeners, but also I like to rock their faces. I've seen a million faces, Thomas.
Kind of like that. It's kind of like, and you've rocked them all.
I've rocked them all. Yes.
It's kind of like that band, the Misfits. Like they want to scare you, but also they do a little bit of rocking. And Danzig's there.
Yes, and also Dan. That's what I love about Shock and Rocktober is Danzig is always there.
I have seen Danzig live because he played a set at Riot Fest in 2017.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I watched a little bit of it, and then we went over to a different stage, I think, to wait for when Wu-Tang came on.
The Clan.
And I think one of... Don't call them that, please.
I heard it coming out of my mouth, yes.
Yeah, but I think one of my favorite experiences of that entire, I went for 2 days, maybe my favorite thing in the 2 days was just being just far enough away from the Danzig stage to be able to hear his vocals and nothing else in the background, because it just sounded like someone was stabbing him. Like, all you could hear in the background was just like, oh! Like, it just sounded like someone was attacking Danzig.
That's good. I would go to that show.
It was great.
That sounds fun.
I highly recommend being, like, 200 feet away from Danzig.
Okay.
being like a football field away from Danzig as he's performing is the ideal.
Like, Danzig, hey, love you. I am putting out a restraining order, though, because I always want to be no less than 200 feet away
from
you.
I don't want to hear the instruments. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I just want to hear you getting stabbed.
I want to be able to hear you, but not be able to discern any of the words that you're saying.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Thomas, here's my first question for you of the new year. And it is October, so it is a new year.
It's the start of the... Fiskeleton year. Sorry, that was the best I could come up with.
That was very good. I'm very happy you did that. Thomas, did you watch Survivor David versus Goliath last night?
Now I remember what you slipped in my glass. We came rewinding when...
Jake, let me tell you, I certainly did.
Great. You really had me hooked there for a second. I wasn't sure what you were going to say.
It's just something I've learned from my time in the podcasting game. It's just how to draw somebody in, you know?
That's why this podcast here is...
The number one on the charts for
number one,
well over a year.
You know what's amazing is we're number one now on every chart on Apple Podcasts. Number one TV recap podcast. Number one comedy podcast.
Number one Survivor podcast.
Number one Survivor podcast
hosted by someone named Jake. Number one podcast hosted by someone named Tom.
Yep.
Number one Grand Rapids residence podcast. Number one Grand Rapids expat podcast.
Yep.
Look, we've got all the markets cornered.
And there are a lot of Grand Rapids.
Number one podcast that will not allow you to say the name on it.
Woo! We got there. I was on board with your bit, and then you ruined it. It's been a few episodes since you've said that demon man's name.
I'm glad that I
and it's
hold
been
you into a
very
false
good.
Sense of security. Also, number one recap podcast.
That's not even a thing. Okay, so starting off the new season of Survivor on a great note, each tribe climbs up onto a large ship. Thomas, do you know the difference between a boat and a ship?
Is a ship, like, closed? Like, you can go below deck?
No, a ship is made of wood. Clothes is what you put on your body. No, a ship has to be large enough to carry a boat, and a boat has to be small enough to be carried by a ship. That is the only distinction, and I read it on the internet, so you can look it up.
Wow, that's very... I feel like my distinction for it was like the one Supreme Court justice description of pornography, which is like, I know it when I see it. Like, yep. I can't describe it, but I know it when I see it. That's how I feel about ships.
Look, if you're ever wondering, is this a boat or a ship? Think, could it fit on a ship? If yes, it's a boat. If you ask, could a boat fit on it? Then it's a ship. If both answers are yes, then it is the rare boat ship, and those are the coolest ones. Ask
if
the Navy.
Either, maybe it's a ghost ship. Don't want to be
maybe
on that.
Maybe it's a ghost ship. If you found a ghost ship somewhere in the South Pacific, you might be on a ghost island. Survivor. Okay. Pretty great transition, I would say.
That's my favorite Jeff Foxworthy stand-up routine.
What?
You might be on Survivor Ghost Island.
That was last season. This new season is called David vs. Goliath.
You are isolated on an island because you were voted there after a challenge, you might be on Survivor Ghost Island.
That's not even how Ghost Island worked. That's not...
Sometimes.
No! That's how you got to Redemption Island. You had to be voted onto Redemption Island. Which is the same as getting voted out.
Remember the opposing team?
No.
The team that won the challenge?
It wasn't a vote, though. It wasn't a vote. It was a choice. It was a unilateral...
Alright, sorry. Let me punch up my routine a little bit.
Yeah. Punch up the joke.
The opposing team sent you to an isolated island after a reward challenge. You might be in Survivor Ghost Island.
These are very good bits that we should have done 6 months ago. Okay, let's get into this season premiere of Survivor David vs. Goliath. Angelina notices that her tribe, the Goliaths, are stacked while the other tribe isn't. Well, then we learn that Elizabeth, the woman who gave birth while wearing a cowboy hat, was homeschooled. And I'll let you know right now.
No way!
Yeah, I was not at all surprised to learn that. Natalie tells us in her intro that she's literally had people willing to take a bullet for her. After she said that, I said, where is Natalie's spinoff? Because I need to understand why this happened.
I gotta know who's taking all these bullets for her.
Or who's willing to. I don't know if anybody ever has, but people would be willing to.
How else would she know? That's all I'm saying.
Do you think people would lie to Natalie ever? About...
Never.
I would advise
against
that.
I'll go this far. I don't think anyone ever has lied to Natalie.
I think you're probably
least
right.
Least of all about whether they would take a bullet for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat of the David tribe says, don't judge a book by its cover. Which I think is the thesis of every season of Survivor.
Sure.
I don't know. Angelina says that the odds are stacked in their favor, and she plans to use that to their advantage. Jeff gives his spiel about the season, and about how Survivor has always been a game of tops versus bottoms. He then tells them that this is David versus Goliath.
How are they
going
to put that right out there and have us not react to it? That's what I want to know.
Right? He tells them that this season is called David versus Goliath, and everybody... cheers, because apparently that's exciting. And then, as he says it, he reveals a very big banner behind them on the ship that has the name of the season on it. What did you think of the big banner that said David versus Goliath,
Thomas? I liked the big banner. I think they should do that for literally every season.
It's the silliest thing.
It's really dumb, but it's like the jet ski. It just works.
I don't think they've ever done that before.
Well,
and
they
I would
should.
Be surprised if they do it again.
Keep doing it. Never stop doing it.
It reminded me of that first Lonely Island music video, the I'm on a Boat one, when they had the Mission Accomplished banner on the boat.
Yep.
That's what it felt like. But that was a joke. Anyway. Nick, who is 27 years old. That's what happens when people stop being polite. Nick is 27. He says he's always wanted to be a lawyer and wanted to be on Survivor, and now he has done both. Nick is an interesting character, and I think we will talk about him more later.
Sure.
Somebody on the David tribe, probably a fucking nerd, points out that David also became king. I kind of forgot about that. Did you know that?
I also forgot about that.
Who is the current king of Survivor? Cassandra's the queen, obviously. Queen saves the queen. We all saw Game Changers. But who's considered the king? Is it Boston Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably...
Or is it Russell? Russell's never won, though. He's only played 3 times.
What about, like, Rupert? Is Rupert the king?
Rupert was the king, like, 10 or 15 years ago.
Rupert is the Santa Claus of Survivor.
Rupert is the Santa Claus of Survivor. That is definitely true. We can all agree on that. Gabby on the David tribe catches a glimpse of Jomo and becomes, all caps, flustered.
Understandable.
I am very into this. I hope... He's married, right?
I don't know if he still
Jomo?
Is.
Hmm. Well, okay. Even if he's not, that doesn't mean that they can't have a little showmance, which I would be very into. They're both two good-looking people from opposite ends of the world. One's a David, the other a Goliath. What about Survivor Romeo versus Juliet, where they're just from two competing families, that, and then everybody's in love with each other from the other tribe? It's an Are You the One Survivor crossover.
Oh my god. Fun fact.
Yes.
John Morrison was in Sharknado 5, Global Swarming.
Wasn't Chris Jericho also in one of the Sharknado movies?
I think he was, yes.
That's good.
Anyway,
so, what we've learned is John Morrison was married to Sharknado.
Yeah, we know that.
What a lucky man.
Hennigan was involved in an on-off relationship with former WWE diva and on-screen manager Melina Perez from 2003 to 2015. The pair met during the auditions for Tough Enough 3, in which Perez was cut, and Hennigan eventually won. Since 2016, Hennigan is John Morrison, by the way, if you couldn't suss that out.
Yeah.
Since 2016, Hennigan has been in a relationship with Taya Valkyrie, to whom he got engaged to. Fucking, come on,
yep.
Wikipedia. Okay, they got married in June. So they got married not too long after probably he stopped shooting this.
I'm here for it. Even if it's a shallow showmance, I still want to see Gabby and Jomo at the very least flirting to further their own game. Right?
Yeah, I mean, why not? It's part of the game.
He talks about how in wrestling he's had a lot of persona, but he's not playing Survivor with any of those. This is about who John is. I liked that a lot. It was very cheesy, but I enjoyed it. It was like,
yeah.
Who is John Galt? Except he didn't say John.
No,
Galt.
Please don't compare him to that. I actually like John Morrison. Don't do that.
Did you know there is? Why would you know this? It would be impossible for you to know this. Or improbable for you to know this. But there
Don't tell me what I can't know.
There is a, like, a baby store that sells, like, baby stuff.
They sell things for babies.
They sell things for babies. I assume to take care of babies. I've never been inside the store, but I'm pretty sure they don't just sell babies. My point is, the name of the store is Baby Galt. And every time I walk past it, I think, who is Baby Galt? Which I think is a very funny joke, but I don't think anyone would appreciate it. Okay. In a talking head, Jomo says he believes that people will underestimate how smart he is. That's cool. Jeff asks Allison about her upbringing, and she says she grew up in an upper middle class family full of doctors and is now a doctor herself. And then Jeff turns to Pat, who says he was raised in a family that lived paycheck to paycheck. Jeff then tells them that they're going to put the story of David and Goliath to the test. Which, like, we already know how it turned out. David won, and the Bible is fact. So, don't really know
well,
that we need to do this
season. That was what he was trying to prove, was that the Bible is fact.
In case anyone was wondering, the Bible is 100% correct.
We wanted to put that argument to bed. It's done been proved.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Jeff Probst here to say I believe the Bible 100% of the time.
Does he say that he believes the Bible in a major way?
My name's Jeff Probst, and I'm here to say I believe the Bible in a major way. That's good. I can hear your roommate laughing from the other room, and I assume he's laughing at a joke of mine that he did not hear.
He was just, yeah, he really liked a joke that you made.
Yeah. What's up Tiger Lily joke that we've been making for like 15 years, 10 years, however long? Yeah. Okay. So, I learned recently that Patrick didn't believe I was smart enough to come up with that joke.
Oh my god. How dare he?
And I was like, you know what? That's rude, but also I completely understand why you would think that.
Maybe Patrick's the dumb one for thinking that, like, it would take it a evil genius to come up with a Shaggy Dog story.
Right. Yeah, it's a good joke, and everybody agrees it was a good joke.
Everyone loves the joke. A lot of people are saying it.
You're hearing it more and more.
Yeah.
The What's Up Tiger Lily joke is a very good joke. And I don't think we have to get back into that
Many are saying this.
Like, everybody knows the joke by now, and it's like, it's run its course. It's like you and your dumb Dirty Jobs host bit. Like, we get it. Do you really need me to go through and bleep out the name every single time? We get it. No, you know the one. You know the one. He was on Survivor, almost same names with Michael Scoopin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
So you're talking about, right?
That is who I was talking about. Yes. Where were we? Oh, they're putting the thing to the test. He tells the Goliath tribe to pick the two weakest people on the David tribe and the two strongest people of their own.
Say one nice thing about them.
What was it that I was just... Oh, it was the actual news. Never mind. Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz had their debate, and the final question was, say something nice about each other.
Oh, yeah, and what didn't Cruz go, like, he's very good at supporting socialism or something like that?
He tried to turn it into,
like, an actual insult. Like, he's very passionate about stealing tax dollars from hardworking Americans or something like that.
He did, like, a form letter about how Ben O'Rourke is actually bad, but he's, like, he's very passionate. And then before the end, Ben O'Rourke just goes, true to form. And then they're like, all right, that's our time. Oh, God, I really hope he fucking wins. That dude's so cool.
It'd be great. Well, I mean, Ted Cruz is really doing him a favor by constantly producing ads against him that are just like, this is what Beto O'Rourke wants for Texas. And he's just like, I think it's weird that a guy got shot in his own apartment. That's pretty bad. We probably shouldn't have that. Yeah. It's like, too extreme for Texas voters.
Okay. That's Politics Corner, everybody's favorite segment that we do all the time.
You should just play the same Wrestling Corner music for that.
That's good.
David Flair, political icon.
For the David tribe, the Goliaths pick Lursa and Christian, who someone refers to as Big Bang Theory. Which seemed like some buzz marketing for the final season of Big Bang Theory, but you know what? I thought it was a funny riff, and I'm gonna let it go. They choose Allison and Jomo for their own tribe. So they picked for each tribe two of our people. One of each of our people, I should say. Which was cool. Right? You picked Jomo?
I did pick Jomo. Larissa. I'm riding Jomo to the end. Jomo is my tag team partner.
Sound like Gabby. Did you hear my good sex joke about two people I don't know in real life? You're welcome. Then Jeff tells them about the challenge that the four of them will compete in. There are three sections of the challenge and two obstacles at each section. The Davids get to decide who does which obstacle. First, the Davids decide to walk across a rope bridge over the water.
The Davids.
While forcing the,
yeah, we I think are David.
Their name. The Davids decide to walk across a rope bridge over the water while forcing the Goliaths to build up and cross a plank bridge. The Davids complete this section quickly. Then, at the second station, the Goliaths have to run through a cylindrical netted rope tube kind of thing, like you would see at Chuck E. Cheese or a McDonald's play place. The Davids, though, thought it would be easier to crawl under a bunch of tight ropes against the ground. They were wrong. So the Goliaths caught up. But at the final station, the Goliaths have to complete a cube puzzle, while the Davids have to do a slide puzzle that is significantly fewer pieces. Christian completes the slide puzzle before Jeff even realizes he's at the section. I really like this kind of challenge, where the two tribes have to do different things.
It was good. I do like in this game, though, that they were like, they were like, they did it like David versus Goliath, but they didn't make the Goliaths like, it's not like a team of dumb jocks. Like, they have good athletes, but they're not necessarily, like, they also have, like, smart people. So, yeah. They're just going to roll the David tribe in every single challenge they get.
Well, except this one. You know? It's all about overcoming adversity, Thomas. It's not about how buff you are or how buff your brain is. It's about overcoming adversity. That's what Survivor's all about, and we're going to put that to the test this season. In Survivor, David versus Goliath. And yes, this
it's
is going to
be a Jeff. Jeff just being like,
Jeff
we're
Prince
going to put the
retires.
David tribe in increasingly difficult and impossible situations. And if they were a true David tribe, they would step up.
Yeah.
The Davids will be playing Russian roulette for this one. There's a 1 in 6 chance of survival.
We've rigged it so that the Davids all shoot themselves and the Goliaths all live to see the end.
Will the Davids have the gumption to overcome the 5 bullets we've put in the chamber?
We gave each tribe 1 gun. One has a lot of bullets. The other has 0 bullets. Good luck to the Davids when they all have to shoot themselves dead.
Just like, very disappointed in the David tribe this year. They all died.
This feels more like how I referenced it last week, but, well, it's the story where God tells them to kill their kid, and then it's like, what the fuck are you doing? No, don't do that.
Are you talking about the story of Abraham?
Lincoln, yeah, he freed the slaves in the Bible.
Yes.
So the Davids win tools to build a shelter.
I believe that the earth is 4 score and 7 years old.
Oh, man. All right, well, we have a leader for episode title. We learn after the challenge that Christian wrote slide puzzle algorithms as an undergrad.
Yeah, how do you feel about Christian?
He's a lot,
yes.
But I like him.
I agree with the first thing that you said.
I don't know that I dislike him.
He just is a lot.
I do not dislike him yet. I thought I was going to dislike him a lot. I do not dislike him yet. And I could see it going either way, but I think I will grow to love him as I do with everyone on every reality show.
It's true.
This week,
I think the lesson that we need to learn is that if we talk shit about anyone on the show, they will hear it, and then maybe we'll feel bad about it. And then maybe they'll win after they become our friend.
In our history, we have talked shit about one person early on in the season, and then they did listen, and then they did win the game. So there's a 100% chance that if you talk shit early,
so yeah,
about
Christian,
somebody,
hopefully you're listening, because you'll win.
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah, honestly, honestly, we don't even need to be talking shit about you. You just need to listen, and you'll win.
Right, 100% of the time that somebody has listened after we talk shit about them, they did end up winning. But also 100% of the time that somebody...
When we did not talk shit about them and they listened.
Yeah. 100% of the time somebody's listened who's been on this show, the season we're covering, they have won. So, Christian...
Numbers don't lie.
Walk up to the bank and say, it's a Garen fucking tea. Don't say that. It's a bank. It's a place of the Lord.
Yeah, maybe in America. That's I have an idea for like a Banksy thing for that. Where it's it's like a church, but like it's also a bank. I'm sorry, it's in the early stages, but I think it's really going to shake things up.
I can't wait. I have an idea for a season of Survivor. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
It's called Survivor 99% versus 1%. It's people with a lot of money versus everybody else.
Ooh, that'd be good. It'd be even better if the 1% tribe.
Here's
just
the thing.
It'd be even better if the 99% tribe just literally murdered the 1% tribe.
Yeah.
The best possible
the first
outcome.
Challenge is guillotines.
Yeah. Can the 1% tribe avoid the guillotine?
As they head back to camp, Christian can't help but focus on the mistakes he made rather than the fact that he won the challenge for them. Yeah, so that's probably not great.
That's a pretty bad way to play the game, to be honest. Like, you shouldn't be... Yeah. Obviously, you shouldn't be confident.
You should not be confident, but you should also not shit on yourself.
Yeah,
that's our job.
Second-guess yourself that much. Like, you need to, you know, be honest about the game that you're playing, but if you're beating yourself up over stuff, like, you won the challenge. Like, you can't...
Yeah. You're the reason that your tribe of 10 people won the challenge. You can't be shitting on yourself like that. Okay, so let's get into the Goliath's first day on the beach. Dan recognizes Mike, but can't place where he recognizes him from. And then somebody runs up to him and says, "You were on Amazing Race,
that
right?"
Is,
and
he this was of, my favorite thing in the episode, is that he was like, "Oh, I'm a writer." And they're like, "Oh, cool." And then the thing that they recognize him from is not School of Rock, a movie
right.
that... anyone in our age range saw, it is that he was on The Amazing Race. Which also, if you recognize him from The Amazing Race, you should know that he was in School of Rock, because they definitely told you.
But I totally understand that thought pattern. Like, this dude looks so familiar, I know that I recognize his face, and then just one person places
maybe
him.
One of the maybe one of the producers purposely told them to say that so that they could do... like some cross promotional like network stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I know that Jeff prides himself on the producers not influencing the game in one way or the other for any given person. And that feels like it would be influencing the game to his benefit. You know what I mean? If they tried to shy away from the Hollywood side of things.
Yes.
But also, what do I know? I'm only the future host of Survivor. That's a new campaign I'm starting to. So he bashfully giggles at them, saying he was on Amazing Race, and it's very cute. Dan, the hot cop, used to be fat, but he worked really hard not to be fat. And I wrote in my notes during the scene, imagine caring about anything as much as Dan cares about not being fat.
Yeah, you can tell he's totally over it. Like, it's in the past, and, you know, it's just really funny to him now.
It's... I'm not mad, you're mad kind of thing.
It's like, good for you, dude. Like, literally all you have to say at a certain point is just like, that's good. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's this, oh my god, he's the same as Christian.
Yes.
He accomplished something.
He did
difficult.
Something, but he can't like, let it go. He can't stop dwelling on it.
Oh my god. Are they going to become allies? I really hope so. It's like in wrestling, when two kind of middle of the road wrestlers who don't have a lot of heat behind them team up and become the tag team champions. And I am specifically talking about Dolph and Drew right now,
or the B team.
I talk about or the B team. Yeah. Well, I mean, they were lifted up because of the Miz. And whereas Dolph and Drew kind of just got together independently and are killing it now. Oh, man. Okay, end of wrestling corner. Natalie tells Dan that he's fine now. Okay, not important note. Didn't need to read that one out loud. Dan,
maybe a little showman's going there, because the show specifically was like, had both of them be like, maybe there is a little showman's happening.
No, you're thinking of the wrong person. Natalie's not the person Dan has the showmance with.
Well, who is it? Who did he have the showmance with?
Kara?
Okay.
Or Kara. Is it Kara or Kara? I think it's Kara.
Yeah.
Dan and Kara talk about Supergirl because her name, Supergirl's name, is also Kara. Supergirl
also used this to be is, on no, CBS. I was going to say they definitely also... This is the producers coached the shit out of them for fucking buzz marketing.
But Supergirl's not on CBS anymore. Oh, I guess they still produce it.
I was going to say they own the CW, don't they?
Oh, do they? I thought they were... I don't know. I also don't care. Supergirl, because her name is also Kara. Kara, oh, we have to...
Her name is Kara, I believe.
Kara. Dan calls Kara his kryptonite. Dan says his dog was named after Supergirl. And Kara says, oh, what's her name? Remember a couple seasons ago when there was a Brains Beauty Bronze season?
Yeah, the one with four Braun Strowmans?
Yeah. Six.
Oh, six. Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
What about the opposite where one, instead of a Brains tribe, it's just stupid people? Oh, that's Emerald City. Wizard of Oz. Survivor. Okay. Dan and Kara are grossly into each other. At one point, Kara asks Dan what kind of girls he's into, and he says blonde and beautiful, like Batman.
What?
You know, remember that Batman show, Blonde and Beautiful?
Oh, yeah.
So then Kara says, so you're saying I'm blonde and beautiful? And then Dan says, right up my alley. And Kara says she's blushing. I don't like this kind of flirt.
Yeah, I love
where
to
people
have
like feed them
two
lines.
People,
you know?
I could not possibly care less about like pair up.
I mean, fair. If it makes both of them a target, cool.
Yeah. There are no pigtails. That's all I'm saying. Pigtails.
Nobody ever will be. Dan says that he believes this is a showmance, and he is afraid that they are putting targets on their own backs, so he's trying to keep it cool. Good luck, dude. You're going to be very bad at that, I can already tell. Over on the Davids tribe, Pat takes the lead on building the shelter because he has experience in construction. Gabby says that the Davids are scrappy and work hard, and that's why they work so well together. Pat, though, is getting on everyone's nerves.
Yeah, I like it goes from, like, oh, this guy's helpful. He, like, there was a second there where I was like, okay, he's a foreman. That could be good. Or, and then immediately it's like, everyone was like, I fucking hate this guy. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, this guy sucks. At one point he says he'd give his left nut to be 36 again. I looked it up. Pat is, or as of filming, 40 years old.
That's, so come what, on, man. You can get a better deal than that.
What were the last 4 years like for Pat?
It's a really rough 4 years.
Apparently.
It's a very specific age to want to go back to. Did somebody say they were 36? Right. Is that what it was in response
I think,
to?
I think it was at least implied. Yeah. Like, if somebody was like, I'm 23, and you'd be like, I'd give my left nut to be 23. It's like, yeah, for sure. But I'm 27 now. I would not give my left nut to be 23. I was basically the same person 4 years ago.
Yeah.
No. I'm just, like, a little smarter now.
Yeah, I was the same person, and I also still had both testicles.
Yeah. It's like, once I hit 30, maybe then we'll talk. But as of now, I'm fine. Not giving up any body part. Maybe a pinky toe. No, I don't want to be 23 again. I was a mess. I'm a mess now, and I'm better. Okay. On the Goliath tribe, Natalie doesn't really do any hard labor. She just gives orders, which puts a target on her back. You know, Natalie didn't have a great look this episode, but I think it will work out in her favor.
Who is the guy that was like, I didn't want to do any work, so I snuck away. I'm good at that.
I don't even remember that happening.
He also was trying to make an alliance with Christian, I believe.
Oh, was that Nick?
I think it was.
Was he the one trying to make an alliance with everybody? Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're jumping a little ahead. Okay. On the David's tribe, Jessica, who is 19, claims to be 22. Her plan is to make a lot of alliances. First is Carl. I would be all right with this.
Like, this is the second straight season we've had someone in their late teens pretend to be in their early 20s.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
It's dumb. Like, people, guess what? Pointless. People will not respect you more for that. If, like, someone is significantly older than you.
Yeah. Again, what's, like, 3 years gonna do?
That is,
like,
the
you're
most
still obviously very
that is
young.
The most, like, 18 or 19 year old thing, though. It's like when you're a freshman in high school and you think seniors are like, wow, like, those are, like, fully grown adults, and then the minute you get out of high school, you're like, those are children.
Yeah, I thought about, like, college seniors now, and it's like, oh no, they're children now.
Yep.
I was in Cincinnati this weekend for my sister's wedding.
Sin City. That's what the nickname of that place is. Home of the worst local delicacy in the world, Skyline Chili.
Okay. I went to a Skyline Chili.
Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
I was getting a ride home with from somebody.
Skyline Chili is bad. Chili,
can you bring Patrick in here?
It is aesthetically displeasing and not good.
Okay.
It's like better than Steak and Shake.
How dare you?
What? It's better than Steak and Shake? No.
It's like a Steak
no.
and Shake.
No. Oh my god.
Anything except a little better.
Yeah. Cuz you know
why would you,
when I want a restaurant I'm like Steak and Shake's okay, but I wish they had spaghetti with chili on it.
They do at Steak and Shake.
Luckily,
they actually do
they
that?
Do,
yes.
They,
that's why I'm making the comparison.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, it's good.
I would never order. No, it's not good.
They do luckily sell the chili on hot dogs, which is what I got. Because why would you put chili on spaghetti?
Yeah.
That makes literally no sense. How do you eat that?
It boggles the mind. It really does.
I hated it.
Ohio is a terrible place.
Oh, I understand Cincinnati so much more now. Like, there's a reason Skyline Chili isn't a national chain. It's a reason it barely has crept out of Cleveland or Cincinnati. Who gives a fuck?
It has to be quarantined in Ohio. It mustn't be allowed to leave.
There's a reason everyone from Cincinnati loves it so much, and there's a reason it's never left Cincinnati, like everyone else from Cincinnati.
Verner's got out of Michigan because it's good.
Yeah.
And has appeal beyond people that say ope.
Yeah. I've, elsewhere on the David's Beach, Lursa and Elizabeth vibe hard and become my early favorite alliance. And then Christian and Gabby bond over both being nerds and honestly probably both wanting to bone Joma. Do you think Christian loves wrestling?
I mean, you could ask him on Twitter.
He does seem like the type that would respond to us.
But I mean, possibly.
I love when people respond to us.
If he's smart, he would be, because he'd win.
Yes. Oh, man. Do you think I should DM him and tell him that the two people who have been on the show who have listened have ended up winning their season? That is kind of, like, three times.
I think it has to happen organically, because, I mean, he already knows how he did in the season. I don't think that's, if he didn't win, I don't think that's going to be very comforting to him.
Well, yeah, but Adam and Wendell both knew, and they still... Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I understand. Okay, where were we?
Yeah, we're 43 minutes into this, and we haven't even gotten to the elimination challenge.
Okay, Mike talks to Jomo about wrestling. In a talking head, Jomo runs through all his characters. Natalie creeps out people because she just stands there overlooking everything without saying anything. Mike then goes idol hunting, and the rest of the tribe discusses who should be their first target, Mike or Natalie. Back on the David tribe, Elizabeth drinks rainwater from a tree. Nick and Christian walk off, and then Nick says, "It's very easy in Survivor to get people to trust you." Yeah, I don't like Nick very much.
No.
He then walks off with Elizabeth.
He's one of those people that's like, I'm very good at manipulating people. And then that person, everyone always hates that person and sees through them immediately.
Well, he did literally say it's very easy in Survivor to get people to trust you.
It really isn't, but...
Like, early on, yeah, if you're like, if everybody's trying to make connections
if you act like
early,
a normal person, yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason that Elizabeth and Lursa hit it off so easily, because they were both being genuine people. Whereas Nick is like, look at my floppy hair and my chiseled face.
Hey, we should go to the end together. Like, what?
Hey, do you want to be final two? Sure, I guess. I'll make that deal with anyone right now because it's the best deal I've got. Yeah, Nick is not going to make it far. He'll make it early merge, but
you're not going to be calling it. You're not going to be calling him Nick at Night because he's not going to be on late.
Yeah. Okay. Carl complains about Nick to Pat. See, it's already started. People already hate Nick. I love it. Over on the Goliaths, Angela. Oh, he's Chris from last season.
Yeah.
The good-looking, seemingly charming dude who everyone actually hates.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's not on Chris's level. And I mean, no, Chris was a transcendently, awful, like, anti-charismatic person.
Yeah, who thought he was very charismatic.
Man, remember Chris's raps? Man, what a good season that was.
No,
unironically, that was a great season.
Ghost Island? Yeah, Ghost Island.
He was
Ghost Island gets
enough
credit.
He was the perfect foil for Dom.
Oh, man. I was watching I've gotten really into a Survivor YouTube channel recently, which is, like, a dude listing his top five things from the show and, like, talking about strategy and everything. And he was giving he was explaining a season he wants to see. That's just a Rivals season. And he was like, absolutely, I would want Chris and Dom on this season.
Yes.
I'd watch it. Angelina points out that not enough women find idols, so that's what she's going to do. She and Kara start hunting. It's hard to get
used
to.
You're so used to saying Kara because of Kara Maria.
Yeah, exactly. Jeremy realizes that everyone else on the tribe is idol hunting, so he begrudgingly does the same. And yes, when I read that note out loud, I did think of Jeremy Collins from Second Chances. Because this was Jeremy's only scene in the whole episode, I think. Memorize him, is what I'm saying. Okay, in a talking head, Dan reveals he found the idol ages ago with Angelina and Kara, which is sad. Like, her whole point was, like, more women need to find idols, and then they pull Hot Cop in, and he finds it.
Hey, look what I found! God damn it.
Is this it? Because you know he's not going to give it to them.
No.
He's going to hold on to it for himself. Like, they don't have a relationship yet.
Yeah.
Maybe they will later. I don't know.
The classic early game, like, we have an idol, guys! Like, yes, we do.
Yeah. On the David tribe, Davy, the namesake, catches an octopus. Back in the shelter, he says to Christian, I'm actually a blurred. Do you know what a blurred is, Thomas?
Is it black nerd?
It's a black nerd. I don't know if you heard this term before, but a blurred is a black nerd, which is, like, so uncommon, I know. Because most nerds are white. Bea and Jessica hiding from the rain in the
black
shelter
people
with everybody
are also
else
nerds,
discuss.
And we are here for it.
I like to call it a word. Okay. You're right, that was a bad joke. Bea and Jessica are hiding from the rain with everybody else in the shelter, and they discuss domestic abuse. And then everybody else chimes in with their stories. And Nick is made uncomfortable by everyone opening up. Isn't that crazy that Nick is made uncomfortable by people being genuine and having a real connection and sharing
hey,
something
now.
And bonding? Crazy. What seemed to be a little later in the night, he tells them about how he lost his mom 3 years ago to a drug overdose. He then says he needs to talk about his own struggles more often. Yeah, my dude, that's how it works. He wants to talk about his own struggles because he thinks it will really help people form a bond with him. I hate this dude so much.
Yeah,
I
do not care for him.
I felt sympathy for him for like 30 seconds. And then it was like,
I talk about my dead mom, people are going to want to align with me.
No, not if you say that part out loud.
Real Johnny Fairplay move here.
Yeah, but Johnny Fairplay did it well.
Yeah.
At the Immunity Challenge, the idol is really good this season. It's a simple design and a good size. And I liked it. Did you have any thoughts on the actual idol?
No.
Sounds like a
no. I couldn't even tell you what it looks like.
It's short and stout and like tan. It looks like a little guy. I don't know. I just remember thinking, oh, it doesn't look bad.
It's a little teapot.
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. I've heard the song. They have to go through an obstacle course and do some puzzles. At a couple points throughout the challenge, the tribes will cross paths. In these moments, Jomo chooses to take people down at the knees, which I am more here for than I expected to be. the Goliath tribe takes a huge lead and wins. And then Pat of the David's tribe says that their tribe, everybody's heart on the tribe has all become one big heart, and it's very touching. All right. And now is the best opportunity to get into wildlife shots.
Wildlife shots. Ready for this? Tell me about those wildlife shots.
Well, I would, but I think there was only one.
Tell me about that wildlife shot.
It was dolphins. I can't really differentiate by sight different species of dolphins, but I do believe this was the Indo-Pacific bottlenose dolphin, which is generally smaller than the common bottlenose dolphin, and that dolphin can be found nearly everywhere in the ocean. But this dolphin, the Indo-Pacific bottlenose dolphin has 23 to 29 teeth on each side of each jaw, which is, I think, a cool fact. Much of the scientific data in this field has been combined with the data about the common bottlenose dolphin, making it effectively useless in determining the structural differences between the two species. And also, the IUCN is unable to tell if/how endangered this species is because of that fact.
Okay.
half of this Wikipedia article is just, yeah, it's basically this other dolphin. We don't really know what else to tell you. They have a more slender body, though, and a longer beak than the common bottlenose dolphin. On average, it is 8.5 feet long and can weigh up to 510 pounds. They eat fish and squid mostly, generally live in groups of 5 to 15 dolphins, although there are groups of hundreds. The first... Here's a direct quote from the Wikipedia article that, you know, isn't necessary information, but I liked it a lot. The first report and footage of spontaneous ejaculation in an aquatic mammal was recorded in a wild Indo-Pacific bottlenose dolphin.
All right.
Near Makura Island in Japan in 2012.
Let's stop talking about the rapist mammal.
Okay, I do want to tell you one last fact about this animal. There is a medicine man in an indigenous tribe in Australia who speaks to these dolphins telepathically. That's all. That's all I wanted to tell you.
I do like that.
Yeah. There's a reason it was the last fact I wrote down. Okay. And then we come back from commercial to see someone being rushed onto a beach. It is revealed to be Pat. Apparently, on their way back from the challenge, the boat hit a wave too hard and Pat suffered an injury to his back. He is in and out on the stretcher. He has breathing tubes and whatever they're called. He doesn't want to leave the game, but Dr. Joe has no choice and pulls him from the game. Gabby believes she misjudged him in the beginning. As they meet with Jeff after his evacuation, Gabby becomes something of a spokesperson for the tribe, and Jeff tells them that tribal council has been canceled. So that was an upsetting end to the first episode of this new season.
It seemed pretty bad. the injury that he had.
Yeah, and apparently the weather this season
them?
Is... I think he could make an argument, but
I just wonder what kind of waiver they sign.
I'm sure that that Survivor or CBS covered their asses for things like this.
Yeah.
But if he got the right lawyer, he probably could make an argument. This is only the second time that somebody has been pulled from the game on day three. And then my next note is the other. I was going to write down what the other one was, but I didn't. But I remember it. It was from One World. Her name was Kat Moon, I think. I don't remember why she was pulled. But you can look it up. You have the internet. I have a good feeling about this season. Do you have a good feeling about this season?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it after one episode.
Yeah, me too. I think the cast so far seems fun. And they seem excited to be playing the game. Right?
I would also say that.
I feel like with Triple H and with Ghost Island, like, a lot of them were there to play, but most of them, you know, you could, I don't know. What I'm saying is,
you want people that came to play, and there's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. And say goodbye to the good old days.
You want to get into the points?
Yes.
All right. So you received 4 points this week. 1 point for Carl surviving, 1 point for Natalie surviving. You picked Natalie? No, you picked Jomo. Oh, I put this in the wrong... Okay, well, you got a point for Jomo surviving, either way. Your reward, you said they would win 2 wheels to build a shelter. You were right, and the Goliath tribe did win immunity, as you suspected. So that's 4 points for you. I got a point for Lursa surviving. I got a point for Natalie surviving. I got a point for the tribe winning Flint. I got a point for the Goliath tribe winning immunity. So we are stuck even at 4 points apiece.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Song by Bob Dylan, Don't Look It Up.
I love that song. I love that guy. Shouts out to Bob Dylan. When's he going to be on Survivor? Okay, Thomas, let me tell you about this episode of The Challenge.
Oh my god, this episode is going to go on forever.
I'll get through it quick.
We're almost an hour in.
Okay, fine. The only team that voted for the team that went into elimination was Johnny and Tony, but they were immune. So Shane and Nelson got to pick, and they picked Kyle and Brad, and they beated them. But let me tell you about this challenge, because it's really fun. So each player holds a rod with a cup on the end, and then the two partners have to carry a ball down a platform together and drop it into a tube in the middle of the court, I guess you would call it.
Okay.
But on each side of the tube are two treadmills going opposing directions.
Oh my god.
So all four people are going to the same portion of the court at the same time.
This sounds great.
Oh, it was so fun to watch. Kyle and Brad lost. Okay, so then they get into the next challenge. One partner is locked in a cage with a key hanging above their head. The other has to go search for something in the woods to help them grab the key. Once they leave the cage, they have to run to a faraway puzzle. First one to win wins. The loser gets a significant disadvantage at the next challenge. While the partners are grabbing branches, Amanda is the only one to realize that there is graffiti on the wall behind them in the cage. And it says things like, Liz was here, and TJ rules, and there's tally marks, and whatever else. She memorizes everything that seems weird. Zach gets her a good branch, and she gets out of the cage, and they run to the puzzle. The puzzle is 3 questions. The first question is, who was the last person in the cage? And Zach turns to Amanda and goes, you! She goes, thank God I'm on this team. So they get all the answers right immediately, and they win. And that's everything that happened. This next week's episode, or I guess this week's episode now, is called The People versus Johnny Bananas.
Oh, I like that title. I'm
very excited about. Okay, hashtag reboot next. Follow us on Twitter, DYWSLN. Mine is DYWSLN is the show, actually. Mine is Jake Scheidel. Thomas, say your Twitter handle out loud so people can follow you.
Tom, not Tom.
Great. Review us on Apple Podcasts. We want those 5-star reviews. Okay. Oh, well, that's the end, Thomas. We didn't even hit an hour. Are you happy?
I am happy.
Great. Bruce, that means you can have a great summer. Okay, I'm gonna. It's a good thing we have different audio tracks.
Bruces.
So I used to think that I should watch TV. I used to think that it was good for me.
Good bits. What are we talking about? Fucking dick. Hey.
What is this character?
I don't know. It's like a 30% Andrew Dice Clay impression. Oh!
That's my entire Twitter.
Yeah, that's so like, you're always talking about how Jack and Jill are going up the hill.
And then somebody sucks a dick or something.
It's pretty raunchy from there.
Well, you know, you remember Jack and Jill, my favorite season of Survivor?
I'm not part of this PC police, that's all I'm saying. You
know? What I'm saying is, Jack and Jill, they went up a hill, and up there they met Twitter Celebrity Drill.
What happened up there? Who's to say?
Who's to say? I'll say, it was probably some fucking, you know teens these days.
I like that.
Hell yeah. Flux is good. And you can tell I've done it from my phrasing.
I'm glad you think that.
I'm very good at sex. Ask anyone. Says right. Jake good at sex, and they'll say, sure. You can't argue with sure.
He's done it. He's done sex before.
I've done sex before.
That's all I needed to know.
You put the stuff in the stuff, and it all works out.
Sure, yeah. And
look, I know what I'm talking about. I've done it.
Been there, done that.
I've been there, I've done sex.
You better say that for the entire month of October.
You bet I will.
Good. Can't fucking wait for Halloween.
You better believe it.
Believe that. Roman Reigns. WWE.
Roman Reigns, WWE, Tom Powell.
WWE.
You miss 100% of the spears you don't take.
Who's got a better spear, Charlotte Flair or Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns. Charlotte's is just okay.
It's pretty good, though.
I mean, yeah, Roman's is actually very good, though. Like, if there's one thing that you can't criticize him for, it's the spear.
If it was everything else you could criticize him for, it's everything else.
Well, I mean, he's a good in-ring performer.
Okay, he's a good in-ring performer. He's good at wrestling. He's good on the bike. He's good at doing the show. Roman Reigns is the perfect wrestler.
I'm going to start recording now because we're talking about Survivor.